Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Our text for this morning will be taken from our epistle reading in Romans chapter 5. So what a difference a day makes, or in this case, a week. Think about where we are today and where we were last Sunday. Last Sunday, we were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus there with Moses and Elijah, and he's transfigured before us, shining with his divine glory. The bright cloud comes down and says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Truly a mountaintop experience with Jesus. And today? Today we've come down off the mountain and into the wilderness, a barren place, a place of the wild beasts, a place where Jesus fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and he is hungry. He is weakened. And Satan comes and tempts him sorely, tempts him towards leaving God and the Word of God into disobedience. What a difference a day makes. What about people? Do people make a difference? Well, history is full of them, right? It's the stuff that biographies are made of. Individuals with their talents and their abilities, either for good or for evil, changing the course of history and our lives along with it. People make a great difference. And our text for today takes it to a whole nother level. Consider Adam and the impact that he had, and Christ and the impact that he has. So today, that's what we want to do. We want to reflect for a few minutes on the difference a man can make. So let me take you to our epistle reading. If you have it on the back of your bulletin, you may want to follow along as we take a look at a few things there. But Paul begins, verse 12, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned." Mid-thought, Paul stops. Breaks off. It's like he's saying, well, before I can really finish this thought and go on, I need to tell you a few other things. A few things that you need to know, and that's what verses 13 through 17 are all about. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But jump down to verse 18, because there's where Paul finishes his thought. "Therefore, as one trespass has led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." What's Paul saying? Look at the difference a man can make. Some ways the two are connected with one another. Paul says that in verse 14, right? He connects them, he links them together with type and antitype. He says that Adam is the type and Christ is the antitype. We've talked about this before, but just for clarity, so we all understand, a type is like a model. It's fashioned in a certain way to show something about something else. And that's what's going on here. As we look at Adam and we look at Christ, we see that they are indeed linked. They are alike in some ways. But there's a twist in Paul's analogy here. In this case, the type and antitype is opposite. That's the main point that he wants to make. And the differences then we just read about in verses 18 and 19. Let's go back there again just to highlight that. Notice the opposites between Adam and Christ. As one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. You see, they're almost like mirror images of one another, alike and yet opposite. Again, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many were made righteous. But they are alike in some ways as well. That's the whole idea of a type and antitype. And so how is it that they are alike? Well, in two main ways. One, they're both the head of something. And the other is that they both had a huge impact on those over whom they are the head. So over here we have Adam. And he's the head of all of humanity. All of humanity has come forth from Adam. He's the source. He is the first. And then over here we have Christ. He is also the head. But he's the head of a new humanity. Those who are redeemed in Christ, the people of God. And Adam has a huge impact on those who follow after him. Namely, his sin plunges all into sin. And with Christ, his act of obedience, his life in obedience to God, then gains justification and eternal life for all of those who follow after him. And yet, we should not think that the impact that each of these individuals have is equal or the same. This is what verses 15 through 17 are all about as we return back there. Take a look at it. Really, three times then in this, Paul tells us that what Christ does is greater than that which Adam does. So we should not think that they are like two boxers standing toe to toe, going blow for blow, that what Adam does, then Jesus just undoes it. Well, that is true, except for the fact that what Christ does is far greater than what Adam has done. And so we have in verse 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more, and there are the key words, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following the one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses has brought justification. And again, if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more, there are the words again, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ. Indeed, what a difference a man makes. Let's look for a moment then at this one man, Adam, and the impact that he has. And that's what our Old Testament reading for today is about. You know, it's about what happened with Adam and the impact that he had. Now, this is a long text, and there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. Honestly, it's the material for many sermons. I could probably preach the whole season of Lent just on this one passage. There's that much in there. But just for today, a few things that are pertinent to what we are talking about. The first is that sin is not of our substance, but is accidental to us. And what I mean by that is not that sin was an accident. Oops. No, when we talk about this, what we mean is by substance is that God created us without sin. And so sin is not of the substance of who we are. God didn't create us that way. But it came to us later because of something that happened. And that's what we mean by saying that it's accidental. It comes to us later. It's something that's added to us. That's a very important point because we need to understand that the source of evil is not God in the way that he created us. No, it is something that has come upon us. And all of the difficulties that we have in life and all of our sinfulness comes from another source, namely the devil. That's the first thing. The second thing, then, is for us to understand that this really changes us. This thing that happened with Adam truly changes us as people. It's not like it's just something outside of us or something that just happened on the surface of us, you know, that can be changed with a little tweak in our lives. No, this is a very change in our nature and who we are. So we went from having a God nature, one that was in his image, then losing that so that we have a sinful nature. And that means the very inclination of our hearts is against God. It's not that, you know, we really are good people, but, you know, something, well, every once in a while we do. No, it's the other way around. It's that by nature we are sinful and unclean as we confess. And that every inclination of our heart, as the scripture tells us, is against God. And if we're going to do anything for God, something drastic has to happen within us. And this is all indicated in that story about Adam and Eve. What happens after they sin? God comes walking in the garden. And they're afraid of God. They hide. You see that separation that happens. They were never afraid before God. Why are you hiding? Because I'm ashamed. I'm naked. How do you know you're naked? Where did this come from, Adam? And see, the idea is not so much that they're naked, it's really about shame and their sinfulness. You see, there's a very change in the very nature. And of course, the outward stuff happens then too, that nature is changed as well, and life becomes arduous, both in childbirth and in work by the sweat of the brow. You see, it's more than just a little tweak outside of us. This is a very change in our nature. And third, then the sin is passed down from one generation to the next. It's not just something that happened to Adam and Eve, but because they were changed in their very nature, those who they bear and come after them also have this, this changed nature as well, so that it's passed on to all of us. Oh, what a difference a man makes. But let's not lose sight of Christ, okay? And that's where Paul's going. The whole reason Paul is bringing in Adam to talk about this is to talk about Christ, and this is the centerpiece. This is why we are here. Yes, we have this, this proclivity, this sinful nature that needs to be dealt with. And it's only dealt with in Christ. And so Paul tells us about Christ as well. But let's remember that it's not like we have the scale here and Adam, you know, weighs it down and now here comes Christ and he balances the scale. No, what he says is what Christ has done is far greater for us and far outweighs what happened to us in Adam. And so in Christ, we are justified to God and we reign with him in life. And that life is greater than what we would have had in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, that was really good. But we see that when we are redeemed in Christ, we have even more. That we are given a Christ nature. And as Paul tells us elsewhere in his letters, that we are transformed into the likeness of Christ with his glory, to rule with him for eternity. What happens in Christ is far greater. And that's what our gospel reading is about. Jesus' temptations. Adam and Eve are tempted in the Garden of Eden. And they are tempted not to believe God's word, not to trust him, to do their own thing. And that's what they do. They're taken in by the temptation. They're disobedient to God and they plunge us all into sin. But Christ is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And there, weakened in his human flesh by the fasting of 40 days and 40 nights, he is tempted by Satan. Jesus, turn that stone into bread. You're hungry. You have the means. If you're the Son of God, just take care of yourself. What is not said is, don't wait for your father to provide for him, for you. Don't trust him to take care of you. Do it yourself if you're the Son of God. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. It's not about that. It's not about that physical, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, our trust in him. Well, then throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple. Did God not promise that he would take care of you and hold you up on the wings of angels so that you would not hurt yourself? Yes, indeed, God promises that. But Jesus said, why do I need to test the Lord my God? Why do I need to test and see if he will really keep his promises? No, I trust in those promises of God. I don't need to test him. You shall not test the Lord your God. Well then, Jesus, you can have all of these kingdoms. They are all mine, the kingdoms of this world. You know, I know that you've come to make a kingdom for yourself. But that road is the road of the cross. That's a difficult road. That's a brutal way. We can do it in a much easier way. You know, just bow down and worship me. It's all yours. Just that easy. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And Satan leaves him. Begone, Satan. And he goes. Jesus then becomes the perfect man. And that's the point. He is the man that Adam was supposed to be. He is the man that we are supposed to be. But Adam could not be, and we could not be, but Christ is. He is the perfect man and becomes the head of that new humanity. And all those who believe in him and are connected to him in baptism are given a new nature in Christ. And they reign with him. Oh, what a difference a man makes. What a difference a man makes. Maybe at the beginning of the sermon, you thought we were going to go to the place of, oh, what a difference you can make. We're not going there today. Oh, all right, that can be a topic for another sermon. There's no doubt that there is truth that God wants to work through us in order to make a difference. But that's not the point for today. The point today is not what a difference we can make, but it's a difference that Christ makes for us. Because when we're talking about salvation, there is nothing that you can do in order to gain it. It's Christ and him alone. If anything, we are lumped together with Adam, and that's what we talked about on Ash Wednesday. That's what that day is all about. Our sinfulness, our mortality, and our inability to escape from that. And the message today is the answer is in Christ and him alone. No, the answer is not what a difference we can make, but it's what a difference Christ makes in each of our lives. In his name, amen.